Perfect. Yo, welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast. We are in the building. That was not even my best production intro, but I don't even care because I'm ready to talk about all of this mess that's going on. Man, what a show. What a show. What a series of shows. I have to go ahead and just say one thing about both shows before we get into SmackDown and Raw. They both did a couple of things that genuinely surprised me. And, you know, I know that's sad that you have to be, like, giving WWE these consolation prizes. But, you know, I love a lot of the workers who work for them. I actually care about the product. So, I love it when they actually are trying different things. I'm not really the type of person that's going to just sit here and bury one company or the other. I love pro wrestling. I like Ring of Honor. I like Impact. I like New Japan. Just give me All Japan. Just give me a chance to watch it. Noah, if I can get a chance to watch it, get enthralled with the characters, understand what you're doing, I'm pretty sure I like it. So that's how much I love wrestling. So, you know, I understand why other people choose not to support WWE. I get it. A lot of people have valid reasons. But these last two shows, SmackDown and Raw, in my opinion, were nice hopeful signs that WWE are going to try to do things that are not just the usual thing they've been doing, not only for the last 5 years, but pretty much almost for like a decade. You know, in the modern era, like, we have these gym matches, like, great matches, like, they matches that, you know, that you remember, that are very memorable. But what has also been consistent during this last decade is frustration, is certain storylines not playing out with the way you want them, certain people not getting the focus that they deserve. So I'm hopeful with a lot of the moves that they decide to make. Now, that don't mean it's going to happen. I ain't crazy. But I am saying that both of these shows did a good job of making me hopeful that they're moving in the right direction, at least creatively. Is that will this be sustainable? What's going to happen? We'll see. But I'm hopeful. So, by the way, Bray Wyatt started off SmackDown by letting everybody know that nobody is safe. And you guys probably should know that by now, but yeah. He definitely made sure in more ways than one to let you guys know that no one is safe.
Exactly. And then we did the show opening match, Grand Metalik versus AJ Styles. I wrote
Intercontinental title match too, by the way.
Oh, my foot itched. Yeah, my bad. Intercontinental title match. I wrote that it was very psychological. Grand Metalik went on to show what he has to offer as a singles competitor.
Yeah, AJ Styles had a counter for everything the King of the Ropes was throwing at him. Early in the match, you know, AJ just constantly targeting his knee. And you can already just see AJ was heading to set up his calf crusher. But, you know, the King of the Ropes fought back. You know, very exciting comeback up into a chop block out of the air. The brutal calf crusher. He taps out. He attacks, I think, Lindsay after the match and did it just because he's the champion. AJ Styles doing his great heel work. I love Metalik getting a chance to show, what he can do. And, you know, just getting a spotlight in general. Like I said, guys, that's what I mean by, you know, hopeful and guys and having characters that haven't done a whole lot of anything. Like, you almost wonder why they hired some people. And it's good to see. It takes a long time, but it's good to see some of those people get a spotlight. You know what I mean? A lot of people from their original 205 Live roster they brought in have been deserving more focus for years. Like, you got different individuals, like, especially on the other show, like Cedric and Ali. And, you know, I was just screaming about Tony Nese a couple weeks ago. Like, there's a lot of great talent that they just signed up to be cruiserweights that you can put in a match with AJ Styles, with some of the other guys with a bigger name. And not to be foreshadowing of a promo that we'll talk about much later, but you know, you can use those guys to drag them up to like a, pull them up to an AJ Styles level. You know what I mean? Being just being associated with great wrestlers, and you know, and I think everybody in WWE can wrestle. Like I know some people who, like for example, when Matt Cardona showed up in AEW, I saw some people, he's nothing but a jobber in WWE. That doesn't mean he can't wrestle. Like y'all, you have it twisted. Just because the way they present it to you does not mean he's a bad wrestler. Like everybody who didn't get the focus in that run, trust me, most of them, I would like to say almost all of them, especially the releases from earlier this year, were good in the ring. They can wrestle. So anyway, I know I just went on that a little tangent about it, but it was a great opening match. And you know, right after that, are you gonna talk about the promo segment? I don't be knowing.
I made my notes today, so. We're talking about King Corbin, correct?
It's the only promo I saw. All
right, so King Corbin sneaks up. I don't want to say sneaks up, but he walks in on... What should I call him now? Anyway, Shorty G, formerly known as Chad Gable, recently renowned as Chad...
nothing. He's still Shorty G. Chad. Baron Corbin, the only person decided to call him by his name.
He the one who took the name away.
Yeah, it's poetic.
No, it's not.
Anyway, Baron Corbin was getting in his head, and calling him Chad instead of Shorty was just nice. It was a nice touch. And he was dropping facts. Like, he was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, not often that Baron Corbin tells the truth, but he was telling the truth.
Right.
Right after that, I think we had another promo segment.
We did. Jeff Hardy, well, before this, it was Sheamus, right?
I don't know. I don't think he just came until later.
Till later? Okay, cool.
I thought it didn't come
until later. Could have been. But anyway, Jeff Hardy gave a speech, and what did Michael Cole say? He's celebrating in his own way?
Yeah, at some point, yeah. I don't know what that was supposed to mean, but that's exactly what he said. That this whole thing between Jeff and Baron Corbin just made me really want to know, like, is he the only heel on the show right now who can do this? I mean, I'm happy that Sheamus is done with Jeff, even though he just had to make sure he called him a junkie one last time before he let everybody know that he's done dealing with Jeff. But anyway, I don't understand Corbin hate, in my opinion. I don't understand why people hate Corbin. In my opinion, he's great at being punchable. I mean, if it's one thing he's good at being punchable. I saw people say that MJF does a much better job at making you want to punch him than Baron Corbin, and I really disagree. I think they both do a great job. That's the reason why you guys hate him. Like, trust me. You guys say it's go-away heat, but I don't think Vince feel like it's go-away heat. But anyway, Baron Corbin is great, in my opinion. I love his trash talk. And I don't know why WWE have to keep burying people who've been through rehab, but you know, hopefully this don't mean every storyline every heel he deals with is going to just keep bringing up, you know, his problems. I hope not. You know, it's bad enough with the Sheamus focus. So hopefully they can just let Jeff be a normal baby face who, you know, wins or loses.
Right. It don't always have to be so personal.
But Gulak attacked Corbin. After that promo, right. And that led us into
a match. I got something in my throat. I got Corbin having learned how to counter the roll up. You know, the roll up was his vice. Good match. It ended with Matt Riddle coming out, getting in the scuffle.
Yeah, I thought it was too quick of a match. It was way too quick. It was too quick for me to even say it was good. I just like Gulak is way too good for you guys to make him just lose out of nowhere like that. I want Catch Point versus Corbin and Gable, which, by the way.
I didn't say that yet.
Yeah, it's obvious, though. Oh, Gable came out. Yeah, come on. At this point, the high points from this show have been talked about, I'm sure. Because, come on, Gable turning heel, nobody expected that. It was a great surprise.
He's not heel, he's just doing it for the money.
He's heel. He's heel, in my opinion. He's definitely heel. I know people don't want to, you know, you may not want to. You don't do anything with Baron Corbin and then not be heel.
Fair.
First of all.
All right, so we're going to move on. It was Big E versus The Miz. So this was Big E's first. They want to make it seem like first singles match since joining the New Day. John Morrison kept getting involved.
Yeah, like that was his first singles match ever. The way they talk.
I didn't want to give it like that.
That's the way they talk. They tried to talk about it like that. Like, I know Corey mentioned that he was Intercontinental Champion at least once, but they definitely talked about Big E like he just never been in a one-on-one match in his life. But, you know, it was a solid match. It was a solid match. I mean, two ring veterans. You know, am I ready for this Big E run is really what I was wondering. I think I am. I think everybody is. He's already great at just getting babyface sympathy, too. And working with The Miz and Morrison made him look even better because they did a great job of just being slimy until Morrison, like, got kicked out of the match and all of that stuff. So, you know, then he brought out the Brock Lock. So, hey.
Stretch muffler.
No, the Brock Lock. It's not going to be. I'm not calling it that.
All right. And then Shinsuke and Cesaro's segment.
Love my SmackDown Tag Team Champion.
Of it only being the Champions Lounge.
Love them. Love it. They use their multi language speaking to get to Lucha House Party, man. Like, give me more of that feud. I love Shinsuke speaking Spanish. I love Cesaro speaking a little Spanish in there. Like, give me I thought the Lucha House Party would not be in this picture, but I guess WWE realized they needed somebody to fight for these tag belts. So if we're gonna get a Lucha House Party versus Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura match, I'm all for it. You know they're gonna go hard.
Like, oh, it's gonna be great.
It's just like that's it. It got all the makings of a good match. Plus, I don't think Cesaro can have a bad match.
I agree.
Don't think it's physically possible.
Then it was Naomi versus Lacey. Now I put that Naomi's too nice. I don't remember why I said that, but she was being too nice in the match.
I don't know why you said it. Maybe it's because Lacey kept tying her hair. I don't know what you wanted from Naomi out of that spot. She had to sell. Anyway, though, the heel work from Lacey was nonstop. You know, I didn't mind it. I liked it at first until I realized that she really thought tying hair was a better strategy than it actually was. You know what I mean? You know. I just hope WWE, this is my overall opinion, though. It was a decent match. Also, it went over 5 minutes. I was happy. It wasn't too short. But then again, it wasn't like a long one either. But at the same time, I just hope WWE understand that, you know, just beating Lacey ain't what that hashtag was about. Like, we want more of a story for, you know, for everybody. Not even just Naomi. Just like, these situations that you get us behind someone like that is not just because, like, they're due. Like, believe it or not, fans don't just start a hashtag like that just because. Like, same thing with the Kofi Mania, same thing with any of the Yes Movement back in the day or whatever, anything. People don't say that stuff on Twitter like that for nothing. Like, exactly. It gotta be more than just letting her win now. Right. Like, that's not what it was about.
I remember why I said she too nice. Lacey, like you said, Lacey kept going after the hair, and Naomi was trying to be the bigger person. I would have stopped trying to be the bigger person if you put my hair between two steps, which wasn't a good move to do because, like, they were braids. Just pull them things, girl, off underneath the stairs.
That's what she did.
I know. That's exactly what she did.
She also pulled Lacey's hair at one point, too, though. She didn't do it probably as much as she should have.
She didn't do it enough.
But, you know, she definitely, I think at one point, tried to fire up with a hair pull. But yeah. The match was what it was.
She was too nice. Just too nice. All right.
Now it's time for the creep segment.
No. Let me rant about this. Let me just be upset. Okay. Because I feel stupid for being Team Sonya all the way back when we made that. Because this has turned out to be the creepiest thing ever. I can't support you, Sonya. I can't support you stalking somebody because Mandy done moved on. Her and Otis out there doing they love bird stuff, and you stuck being a creep. Stop being a creep.
Definitely being a creep.
So if you didn't watch, but you should have seen it. You should have seen it. Sonya stalked her till she was alone. And then she attacked her, smeared lipstick all over her face and stuff. It looked like she got cut. So I understand the refs and the officials trying to check on her. And then cutting her hair or her extensions or whatever it was with scissors and walking away with the hair. Sonia, leave that on the floor. Why did we need a trophy?
Yeah, she's crazy.
She is. Also, we got to the point where we were like, Corey Graves, the pinnacle of heel commentary, is saying that this is too far.
Yeah, even Corey was like, "Wow," you know what I mean? Like, even Corey was like, "This, it was despicable." They trying to make, like I said, I can tell. I saw the turn in a promo weeks ago, way back, that they were definitely trying to turn her crazy, and I just didn't think it was necessary. She can just, like I said before, be a badass fighter. She can go after the belt. Like, why are you so obsessed with someone that you've beaten twice, that you mentioned that you've already beaten her twice, and then you want to cut her hair just so you can say that she has nothing now, when, not, first of all, you didn't cut her bald. You cut her, like, what, shoulder length or whatever. Shoulder length.
That's still pretty long.
That's still pretty long, and Mandy's going to be fine based off that. You know, I don't know what, and then she, you know, it wasn't even just the cutting hair part, because, all right, cutting hair I can let slide, especially when it may lead to a hair versus hair match. I don't think it will, but it may lead to that. The worst part is before that, when she was with Otis and the walking behind stalking type thing, it's just like, we haven't seen you in weeks and you come back insane. And you know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get, like, we haven't seen you in weeks and this is still your focus.
I swear.
Like, I would like the time off for Mandy to go do her thing with Otis or whatever they have planned. Maybe they don't have much planned, and that may be the problem. But either way it go, Sonya could do her thing. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, you beat her twice.
That's all you need.
It's over. Like, what do you need to prove? But, you know, I don't know. Like, they turned into jealous and crazy. But I will say this. The best part of that whole segment was bald Adam Pearce not being afraid of clippers. It was beautiful. I just don't know what shaving Mandy's head really achieved.
I feel like
it just make her look crazy. And maybe that's the goal. Maybe that's what they were going for. But, yeah.
I feel like this is going to turn into next week or in a few weeks, Sonya dressing up like Mandy. It's going to get to that level of crazy.
No, I hope they don't. I don't think they're going to go that far. I hope not.
She already got a hair now.
No, that's, I can see what you're saying. It do sound like very stalker obsessed. Like, so, like, yeah, I can see it can go that way. I hope it don't. Maybe I'm speaking with just my opinion of, I'm hoping it don't go that way. So I don't think it will. But maybe it will. Like, you're right. I see what you're saying. I see the seeds.
All right, so lastly, we had the main event for the SmackDown Women's title. The champ, Bayley Doe Straps, versus Nikki Cross. Nikki breaks my heart. She really does. Because I wanted her to win. I always want Nikki to win because, you know, she's got so much oomph in her. So much fire, passion, all that good stuff. But she didn't pull it off. Then Alexa came in trying to console her. And then you get the talk after Nikki walks away and says, "No, I don't want to hear it." You get what the internet was abuzz about happening.
Yeah, I love the callbacks to Extreme Rules in that match. You know, they did a lot of spots, including the brass knuckles. And or the whatever, the four finger ring and Nikki Cross, like, she looked great. Like, that's what I like. I like how good it actually looked like she was supposed to win, but then out of nowhere it was like a subtle finish. I didn't really care. I didn't like that, but the story conclusion, in my opinion, just is Bayley was just better than her, and then it makes Nikki's reaction understandable. She's been frustrated for weeks now, by not being able to win, and this time she lost clean. She didn't even lose, you know, through, you know, dirty tactics. So, you know, I understand her reaction, and the ending was just great. You know, I think Alexa should have ran as soon as the lights went off. But other than that small nitpick, it was great. You know, usually male wrestlers don't even get a chance to do anything to a female wrestler. And even in that situation, you know, it still wouldn't probably in the way that I would like it, but it was still nice to see them willing to go there to tell this story. Like I said, they would have rarely surprised me anymore. So I was happy with this show and, you know, the surprises throughout, you know, that's one thing I give them props on. You know, they definitely surprised me with that show, with the way they, you know, they handled it. So, yeah, I really, really liked it. I really, really liked, you know, this show.
I agree. I also, I guess I I have an eye for those things. But we had like 3 back-to-back women's segments. And I was like, yo, I like that. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to move on to Monday Night.
And a women, and another women's main event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're going to move on to Monday Night Raw. Do you have a transition?
Headshot.
What is that?
A sound effect bar that I need to... It played too many ads for me to use it effectively, though. And I'm not going to give them my money to cut the ads off. So I'm just going to keep finessing those 1 or 2 sounds every now and then. I don't have a transition this week. I just...
That's cool.
I'm just really, really, really trying to... let's get into the show.
Cool. All right.
Because this Raw was insane.
So Apollo Crews came back. But it was a lot of wonky things going on with the lights at the beginning. Tom Phillips was like, yo, I'm sorry. The backup generator came on. I don't know what's happening. And he genuinely didn't know what was going on. He was just as upset as we were. But Apollo Crews came out. Him and MVP had a championship match that we should have gotten. What was that pay-per-view that just passed?
Extreme Rules.
At Extreme Rules. And
it was a simple enough match.
It was. Let MVP tell it. The whole production issues is why he
didn't win,
but I disagree.
But it was a decisive victory, you know, for Apollo. Decisive. And he finally have the new U.S. title, you know, MVP been toting around, you know. I definitely laughed at MVP blaming the light, especially when they only really, like, flickered a couple of times during this match. So it wasn't like it went off at a key moment in the match or anything. But either way it goes, it was great heel work by him to blame it all on that. I do have one question. I have no clue why they're doing that match again at SummerSlam, you know, but it is what it is. I like the Hurt Business, and, you know, I think we already all expect Apollo to retain. So,
of course.
But, you know, we'll see. Just like he did tonight, by the way.
I want him and the Bruhs to link up. Like him, said Rico.
And the Bruhs is what you just said.
Ali might be doing his own stuff, but you know, the big foe. They need all the bodies they can get against Bobby and Shelton, because they like to throw their weight around.
Yeah, at some point you would like to see them jumping, but as of right now, you know, those guys kind of just let the beat ups slide.
You know, I thought it might be wrong. I thought the backstage announcer that did the promo for Bailey and them was called Mackenzie, but apparently her name is Sarah.
Yeah, it's two. You got a Mackenzie, and I think it's a Sarah Schreiber or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so this one was Sarah.
They're just both blonde.
She looked like a Mackenzie. So this one was Sarah, and she
looks like a Mackenzie.
If you heard the name Mackenzie, like, yeah, that's the face that'll pop up. But so does Mackenzie, so it's fine. Sasha Banks. Stop it. Sasha Banks and Bayley rub it in that they won last week.
Yeah.
And
that's when it happened.
Asuka was like, nah, I'm going to get you back.
Revenge will be sweet.
Yes, and then Shayna was like, I don't like you, Sasha.
No, Shayna also, screw it, just punch her in the face. I liked it. I like their style. Just punch her in the face.
I wish
we could do that in real life.
No.
I wish it's certain people out here who you just need to start walking up on and punching them in the face. No. Now, I'm not condoning it. But, you know, if you say the wrong thing, I might have to participate. Anyway, not you, but I'm talking about people in general. Sorry, I don't want people to think I'm threatening you. Turn this whole show around.
Right.
Like, oh. Gosh. Whoa, we caught you, Monty. Anyway, Kevin Owens basically put the Riot Squad back together, you know, so that was nice, which led us into the Iconics versus the Riot Squad, which was very, very quick. But, you know, the dreaded WWE roll-up will never be stopped. I mean, it's hard to get out of it. The dreaded roll-up, the schoolboy, the victory roll. I'm just naming roll-ups now. I know the O'Connor roll.
That is not the O'Connor roll.
You can do an O'Connor roll pin, baby. I know that's not what just happened. I already told you what they did.
Yes.
They did the schoolboy or girl, I guess, if it's all women, right?
School person.
It doesn't matter. They did it.
Be neutral, school person.
I had to crack my neck, y'all. The story here, though, was told, and the squad is back together. I think they can be perfect spoils for Sasha and Bayley's tag team title reign. You know, they need. Why you roll your eyes? You don't think they will be?
I just didn't like seeing the Iconics lose. It's warranted. They needed that loss, but I just didn't like it.
The Bullies ain't gonna win. You can't bully and win.
Yes, they were a little out of pocket.
And then, come on now. The Connors get pinned all the time.
Also,
you love, like weeks late.
Shut up. Also, love the hair, Ruby. Love it.
You want to save the Iconics weeks after they already lost to everybody?
Years.
Come on, man.
Then we had the face-to-face, the Drew McIntyre-Randy Orton collision. Hit the claps. All right, go ahead and talk about what Drew had to say.
Oh, well, if you want to know what Drew had to say, go watch the show. I'll just tell you what I thought. McIntyre and Orton segment was just so good. I mean,
McIntyre.
Like I said, McIntyre and Orton segment was so good. Both promos, Drew's fire at the end. It was just all great. And they both were telling the truth. When Drew brought up Randy was supposed to be fired, probably so, if you look at what other people would let go over. Randy wasn't saying, yeah, you're right, but I'm more valuable than you ever were or will be. I don't got no way to gauge that, but hey, Randy Orton's pretty valuable. So anyway, I love the promo. I get it. I liked it. It'll be great. Doesn't really matter to me who wins. And since you were using rumors to say that Drew will lose, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I like it. I don't want to hear another rumor about this match. Shut up.
I don't either.
I'm not. I'm talking to the people who like rumors. Shut up.
Wow. Okay. Aggressive. Nia Jax.
They even ruined this show for me. Shut up.
Nia Jax
gets... I know WWE kind of ruined it themselves, but shut up!
Nia Jax gets suspended. Gosh. Also, aren't we done
with... First of all, you definitely not on the internet if you think we need to talk about Nia Jax getting suspended. Everybody was jumping for joy. That was one of the high points.
I'm very upset. Also, can we stop saying that gingers are supposed to be fiery and angry? How about they want to control...
Hey, that's Nia's shallow view. We don't know who wrote that.
Moving on.
That was from Nia's shallow worldview.
Alright.
Anyways, it was done differently. Most times, you know, you just get suspended. You know, at least I've never seen an official that wasn't like an authority figure on television.
Is Pat the new Adam Pearce? Like that.
I don't know. No, because we saw Adam Pearce. He may be Rawls Adam Pearce, but he's not Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is a G who's not afraid of Clippers.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Pat's actually pretty tall because he was tall as or a little bit taller than Nia.
Pretty tall to you. No, just playing. He's not tall by comparison to Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is huge. They got to aim the camera up when Adam walks through. But anyway, he might not be that tall. I'd be mad he's like 6'1". And I just said that they got to aim the camera up. But anyway, that's besides the point. I don't know. Somebody Google Adam Pearce's height. But yeah, she suspended, and you know what? This I'm surprised you didn't say it. I was trying to get his point for you, but apparently you didn't want to make it. She got those nice braids just to get put off TV.
I didn't want to make that point.
Okay, 24/7 triple threat.
They were dope. Yeah. So before this, Shelton was like, "Ah, somebody stole my title." Turns out, R-Truth stole the title.
Yes, he did. Didn't matter because Akira Tozawa is now 24/7 champion. Woo! Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. 24/7 champion. 24/7 champion. Please just take the ninjas off him, bro. Like, can he just go back to wearing his shorts? Like, you know, what happened to that? What happened to that? This is what I feel about the ninjas. Never mind. I can't do it yet because I got an advertisement on my button bar. I finally got a boo sound, and I got to wait until this advertisement is up to use it. All right. Edit here. I might not edit this out at all. This is what I feel about the ninjas.
That's trash. That's a trash boo.
It's enough.
It wasn't even all that it was cracked up to be.
It's free. All right. Do you want me to pay? I pay for a better boo. It's free. Unless you're going to help me pay these bills.
Beggars can be choosers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You go find one that's better will. For free. Go find one that's better for free.
Android. I'm going to stop. All right. Then we had Shayna versus Sasha. You know.
I did just hype it up for a pretty trash boo, especially by comparison to you. But anyway.
You know, it ended in a no contest.
I'm begging y'all to let Akira not be ninjas.
I'm begging y'all to have a match that don't end in a no contest.
No, it's not even that. That's not the problem. Let it be a no contest. They don't want nobody to lose. That's why they did it.
I know.
Obviously. Shayna can't lose. Sasha can't lose. I get it. Whatever. Makes sense. Don't book the match. But anyway. But just, it's fine.
Just
it's fine.
Have them brawl.
No. Just at least. Let it make sense. Don't just let. Oh man, Oscar, why you attacking Bayley? Bayley ain't got nothing to do with this match, Riff. Why you ringing that bell?
That's That's so true.
You ain't do that. You didn't ring the bell last week, or whoever the ref was didn't ring the bell last week when Kyrie chased Bayley out of the ringside area.
Exactly.
They should have just rung it then. If all you gotta do is mess with the manager.
Exactly.
That's the thing. We just want consistency. That was very inconsistent. And it seemed like it was going to be a good match. Shayna Baszler is a babyface. Not really. But for the first time ever, I actually got to see her be against somebody who was more dastardly than her. Even though she's not really dastardly. She's more just like, going to hurt you. Yeah, she's just going to hurt you.
She'll go too far
she's
sometimes.
She's not a coward. Yeah, she's not a coward or really ego. Well, she is kind of egotistical.
You're egotistical.
But yeah, mostly it's because she's going to hurt you. But anyway, the most annoying thing, though, is like I said, it's about what I just talked about. The no contest for that reason makes no sense. I was about to say no effing sense, but I censored myself. I'm doing great today. Anyway, I hope Oscar can beat Bayley next week and retain at SummerSlam and fight Shayna at some point.
Pick up the
because that's the storyline I wanted when Oscar won the title anyway. So, yeah, it'll be nice. I think Oscar will be, what, 2-time?
Yeah.
Because that was her first Raw Women's reign,
it
huh?
It was.
So, okay, yeah, she'll be 2-time. Hopefully. Right. Hopefully.
Here,
we'll see.
Up next, we have the stuff, the mysterious thing that was supposed to happen that everybody was talking about. And then once they figured out what it was, everybody was, like, really upset about. It gave me Fight Club vibes. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this Fight Club. Why we got a camera in here, this Fight Club?
Yeah, I put my Raw Underground take towards the end, so I'm gonna save it.
Okay, so I don't know who this dude is, Dabakato.
Mm-hmm.
Dabakato debuted. Oh, he was formerly known as Baba Tunde. I'm gonna have to Google him. Maybe he's from New Orleans.
He's a big guy. Vince McMahon, like big sweaty man.
Then we had another weird match. Well, weird occurrence. So it was the double singles match between the Raw Tag Team Champions, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, versus the Tag Team Champion Challengers, or Tag Team Title Challengers, Andrade and Angel.
I could swear you just said Angelo versus Montez, but I said okay, good. So that's me. Go ahead.
So first up, it was Angelo versus Angel. I see what y'all did there.
Right.
And it was a rousing good show up until Montez went to go shake the ropes like he does to like hype up Angelo, and then Angelo gets distracted because Montez like just passed out.
He collapsed.
Yeah.
And Angel took advantage, and then the story continued in Tez's match because he did his top rope helo, and then he collapsed again. And, you know, the match was stopped, and then we see backstage, they say Tez was poisoned, and that lead us to the hypest part for me of this whole ordeal is that Bianca straight up blames Zelina since she the brains of the operation. I like it. Let the ladies of these two teams fight and go at it. Zelina can wrestle. It's about time you guys understood that. I know she's short, but she can wrestle. Let her go. Let her do her thing. Her and Bianca will probably have a pretty good match, or at least Bianca will go over on someone, and they can build her up some more. Since Zelina is not really full time focusing on wrestling, but either way it go, I think that'll be a good match for next week. I don't know if they made it officially or anything, but her involvement will be great. Maybe she even manages them in the tag team match at SummerSlam. I don't know if that's the in plan in goal, but. Either way it go, it's good to see Bianca involved. And like I said, I give WWE shit when they do this wrong and they only give you like two women segments. So I'm gonna give them their props, you know, give them a round, because this is the third women's segment of the night, and it all made sense storyline wise. So and then, you know, the Riot Squad, actually fourth, because I'm excusing. I forgot about Nia's segment. So they actually had four different women's segments. So, yeah. You know, like I said, it felt like everybody, I liked how different this show was. And I'll get into that again, like I said, towards the end. So,
All right. So next we got Principe Mysterio attacking Seth Rollins. But before that, let's back up a hot minute. Seth Rollins had the audacity to come up. Well,
it ain't no audacity. I don't mind it. He got in Tom face. You know it. I don't care about Tom. Tom, me and you still got heat, buddy. But anyway,
Tom ain't deserved it. He was just commentating.
He was showing bias. And when you show bias, you become a liability.
But he only focused on Tom.
Joe reminded him of it.
Byron always got bias.
He does. And his Joe reminded him though, stood up to self. I love the callback to their involvement in the past. Joe basically telling him, "You think you just gonna walk up on my partner like that?" I love it. And I love Joe teasing like he was gonna get in there and fight. And Dominic pulling up with another fire performance with a nice kendo stick. He did a great cross body. He did a 619. Man, Principe looked very, very good. And they may not go with my name. I don't care. It's fine. He can be Dominic Mysterio. Either way it goes, he killed it again to me. Second week in a row. I even liked his promo early in the night, challenging Seth to store match at SummerSlam. And since Seth made that official, I hope it's a stipulation match. It is needed because the rivalry fitted very well. It shouldn't be a regular wrestling match. I know this is Dominic's first match, and you might let him lean on like an Extreme Rules or something. It don't have to be Extreme Rules, but something like that, that you can let him use weapons, let him use other things so it can make sense.
Because it's personal.
Because this is his first match on television. We know he's been working with his father, working with others probably to get good in the ring. But as far as him presenting himself to the public, they look at, like, you know, your casual may just look at him, oh, this is his first match ever. So he shouldn't be in the business hanging. He shouldn't be in the, he have no business hanging with Seth Rollins wrestling-wise, like one-on-one. But if you give him a stipulation, you know, give him a chance, he probably going to sell most of the match. Anyway, either way it goes, I think they have a chance if they give them the right stipulation in the right situation to be really, really good.
We might need to discuss this more off-air, but I just feel myself doing it. We're going to have to give me like a fashion segment instead of the rumors, because rumors getting played out. Ain't no news, really. But Dominic, it looked like you got some Balenciagas on, the ones that look like socks, them shoes.
God.
And
you,
these,
you definitely need a fashion segment.
And these high rise jeans, those don't work. I need you to somebody to style you better. I don't know, get you some flare out jeans instead of the skinnies, but it don't mingle. It don't mingle, bro.
That's the fans on this segment of this show, on the fashion segment. I'll just play. You ain't have to do that.
I did.
I've been talking about the man jeans. He just here for a segment. He ain't got to be fly to beat up the dude who blinded. You got to be fly to beat up the dude who blinded your daddy?
Yes. Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Or be more disheveled. Don't be coming in here with no Balenciaga shoes.
Oh, my God. So now he can't be fly while he beat up the dude.
One or the other.
Come on, man.
The Her Business was still fly when they was out there handing behinds to them folks.
Speaking of the Her Business, now I want to talk about Raw Underground in total and the Her Business. The Her Business are a perfect fit for the Underground Fight Club vibes that they are, like you said earlier, that they are going for. I love them beating up everybody except Isaiah Swerve Scott, because he's supposed to be credible on NXT television, but he just it's believable he can get beat up by the Hurt Business. They're the Hurt Business. But I'm just saying, I would like them to protect certain people that you see all the time on NXT television. But apparently Vince don't really care for that. You need bodies, you need bodies. these PC shows needed something different, and the concept is different, and I just hate when you get on when you see other people offend. They beg for WWE to do something something different, outrageous, whatever. They do something outrageous and then they get shitted on for it, and I don't understand it. I'm not saying it was the greatest or the most interesting thing I've ever seen in my life, but I was very interested in it, and I wanted to see where they were going with it and what they're gonna do next. It's a great way. I don't know the guy. What, say his name again? Kato?
Babatunde.
But that was Babatunde before that. Either way it goes, you say his, say the other name now.
Daba Kato.
Daba Kato. So, Daba Kato.
Babatunde.
Premiering guys like that, getting newer people over in this format, I don't have a problem. It definitely gave me Def Jam Vendetta vibes. Little Dim Lights Club, while they doing, their thing. I don't like people trying to confuse it with UFC. Or I know some people talking about if I want to watch MMA, I watch it. Blah, 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 blah. Like, bro, it's not MMA. Like, that just shows me how much you really know, apparently. They're not really fighting. They're not even trying to make it look like they're really fighting. But it's just Fight Club vibes. No rules. They're just trying to do something different. So I got to give them the props. And like I said, it was very, very interesting. I hope that they can do more with it. We didn't really talk about it, but the faction or whoever it was who burnt the generator or whatever they did with the Molotov cocktail. I'm interested to see who these guys are, and the girl, because obviously I heard a female voice. Seemed like it's a woman gonna be in it too. I'm interested to see who they are, what the plan is. What is it? Is it just something to get us to watch every week? Is it something that's gonna last? I don't know. We shall see. And that's what I'm saying. That's the type of stuff that I haven't been saying this entire Performance Center run of shows we reviewed. I don't think I ever told you guys, oh, man, I'm really interested to see where they're going with this, and not already have a thought of where they're going. Like, I literally have said that before, but I pretty much had an idea of where they may be heading. I don't know where the hell they going with the Molotov cocktail thing. I don't know where the hell they going with the Underground Fight Club long term or whatever. I don't know. So that's what I mean by being interested in what they're doing. And I think the Hurt Business are a good fit. I think MVP and the Hurt Business will be running that from now on. And I don't mind having 2 hours of regular Performance Center Raw and then an hour of just, these impromptu matches and, the music and all that. I don't mind that. It's something different. And as long as they do it in the right way, I don't have a problem with it. And I overall, my opinion on the show was this may have been one of the weirdest but most interesting shows in the PC era. Like, I know some fans, and I'm not saying politically correct, I mean Performance Center, if you guys don't know. I know some fans may hate it. And this is the first time in a while, not only was I just hyped to watch the Raw at the beginning, but it also just kept me watching it. I finished it on Monday. Usually, sometimes I watch it the next morning, or I let it record through, and I don't even watch it until the next day or whatever it is. Sometimes, so I actually watched it that night, and it kept me watching. And I just want to see what's next for next week. I mean, and I think that means they did a good job. Whenever they got you, that's what Raw was originally designed for, just to get you not only to come back to Raw, but get you hyped for that pay per view. So since it's not a pay per view right now, and even though they did build towards SummerSlam, which is their pay per view. They did a good job, because I actually am interested to see, okay, what is Raw Underground going to look like next week?
I agree. All right, let's transition. Well, let me get my thoughts on that. I agree. Everything about this Raw was way better than all of the Raws that we've reviewed, watched, whatever, in a hot minute. Even the all the spoilers and the buzz around stuff online didn't take away from what we actually saw, which was great. I enjoyed it. It was very enjoyable. So big ups to them. Now, hit my button for the rumors. Gossip Corner. All right, guys. So first, the Wrestling Observer says that WWE has plans for a new direction to include a return to the 90s mentality of factions. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
So he's saying WWE is going to try this?
Yes, 90s mentality of factions.
Well, this is what it means, but this is also what us probably don't want it to mean. It's two eras in the 90s of factions. You got the weird one when they had the motorcycle gang, the Boricuas, and the Nation, and I think DX. And then you had the later in the 90s where it was just more like the Corporation, DX, like the heavy, the people they consider the legendary faction. The ministry counted, the corporate ministry, whatever you want to call it. The good thing. So it's two ways to take it. They either finna do weird forced factions that make no sense or don't really, only thing they got in common is like we're all bikers.
Yeah.
I hope like either it's something like that, or they're gonna go and try to, hit home runs and make some of those great factions. But a lot of the things you have to remember, guys, with those great factions, you had people like Triple H, who was at the time up and coming and was trying to be a star. Same thing with the Nation. The Rock was in it. Like, a lot of, they were made, those good factions were made to build stars. The other faction was just random people together. So it's two approaches they can take here. They can either do the random people together, won't last long, nobody wins anything, or you do, the legendary style where they actually seem like, okay, you got, like, kind of like Evolution had a guy who had been a world champion, was the world champion, and two guys who are about to be the world champion. Like, that's what I mean. Like, factions who can help other people get over while using someone who's already over, to keep going. So, it just depends. It depends. That can mean two things. So, we all know what side I think every fan is leaning on. We want the DXs, the Nations of the world. We want those type of things. We're not really looking for the Barriquas, and I don't remember the motorcycle gang.
Eight Ball?
I know one of them name was 8-Ball. I just don't remember what their name was. But either way it goes, do your research. You get the network or whatever if you want to seek out some of those poor examples. But yes, Vince probably found out that everybody on the internet knows or have talked about how much he hates factions. So he's trying to do it. Now, I already know it's coming. Go ahead, AEW. Go ahead, AEW fans, and go ahead and give you guys yourselves the credit and act like AEW is the only place with factions, because I'm just going to be honest with you. AEW borrowed their style from another place that I like to watch. Do have a lot of factions. New Japan is literally all about factions.
It is.
So, both of them stole from New Japan, is my point. But anyway, we're moving on.
Moving on. Wrestling Inc. reports that WWE filed trademarks for MVP's stable name, The Hurt Business.
Let's go. Gang, gang, gang.
And another name, Justice.
Ooh. So that's going to be the new faction, Justice.
Yes. It's no, you're saying it wrong. Justice. It's spelled like Just Us. G.
Oh. They thought that. Somebody thought they was clever, huh?
They can't trademark Just Us.
Of course you can't trademark that. Just Us. Hey, man, it better not be. All right. Hopefully I can see my. Hey, man, I'm letting y'all know right now. I'm biased as hell, but Bo Dallas is in this faction. All right, moving on.
It better be.
It'll be nice. I ain't seen him in forever. Come on, man.
According to Wrestling Observer, yet again, the location for SummerSlam that's being discussed is, drumroll please.
Don't have that emotion, so.
Oh, I thought, what is that free app good for without a drumroll? Atlantic City.
I don't care. Do they really got it? Is it confirmed?
No, but it's heavily.
That's what they hoping for?
Heavily rumored.
Heavily rumored. Well, hey, whatever. I know WWE's trying, so I guess they can keep trying. I don't think anybody's going to open it up for them, but hey, Atlantic City wants that paper.
Right.
I guess. You know, I'm assuming, you know, WWE going to pay them.
Vince and them don't mind lining pockets.
Yeah, they finna, but yeah, they gonna pay
them, that is my rumors. Gossip Corner.
Yeah, she definitely need a fashion show. Those trash rumors. Other than Us. Just Us.
I was hype about that Justice.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's pretty much it. We rolling out.
Yeah, man. It's over with. It was cool while it lasted. Another pod down. I'm going to be honest with you. I probably could have put a little bit more effort, tried to be a little bit more funny for you guys or whatever. But at this point, man, we're getting closer and closer to school. These podcasts, I'm just going to be honest with you. We might be drained.
Oh, yeah. I'm drained. I went to class today.
I'm not going to promise y'all the best quality of shows these days. She just left class. You know, I know she's tired. You know, mm-hmm. So it is what it is. But, you know, I do like one word you used. Hey. Get away with it.
How? We don't own the rights to any of this music.
But we are about to
roll out. Who owns this Atlantic?
Def Jam South. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, Island Def Jam Music Group.
He ain't from no island.
It's Def Jam.
Turn it off. Adios. Adios. Nah. Hit that.